This is a cassette recording of a discussion that was held between Jack Delaney and Mr. Baden Howard. Mr. Baden Howard resides at 27 Alexander Street, and the discussion took place at his home on Tuesday, the 19th of April, 1983.
Yeah, yes, you know. Well, I hope I can answer.
Oh, you'll answer a lot of it for him. Because you go back way back in history. I go well back. Your family's also very ancient in the area.
Yes.
You're one of the very early ones. Way back. I know that.
Yes.
Well, let's start with your family.
Yes.
Your grandfather or your... Who first came to Pocolman? Who first...
Well, my father.
Your father was the first?
Yes.
I thought there was another generation before that again.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Well, no, your father was the first one. What? Yes. When did he come to Pocolman then?
Well, there,
was it Pocolman that he came to?
Yes, he came to Pocolman and took over land like Bill King opposite on the
Mount View.
Not Mount View, out of Pocolman.
Yeah, but...
Like, where we went up the main road past Connolly's. Do you know where Connolly's place was?
That's up Marrowbone Road, was it?
No, not Marrowbone.
Well, which one are you talking
about? No, Marrowbone, you come to that, like when you go out here, you come to that first, and we go further on and go past Alf Ingalls' old place.
What, in Ingalls Lane or back up on the...
No, the main road out to...
going past...
Pocolman.
Going past Happy Valley and...
Yes, Happy Valley, yes.
Were you out as far as that?
We lived just up on the left-hand side on the next hill, Happy Valley.
Before you get to old Len Drayton's?
Oh, yes.
Just
Len was over the hill.
Yes.
He's down from our place.
Yeah, but he was on that road.
Yes, well... that place, you see, Drayton's bought that off a fellow named Jack Dedra.
Yeah.
Well, Jack Dedra didn't own it, actually. He, Bazant owned it, and
yeah,
Jack Dedra...
Yeah, I've seen Bazant's name on it, yeah.
Yeah,
Jack, on the original.
Jack Dedra worked on it and managed it for many, many years.
Yes.
And
yeah.
He only lived in a little place there, and then he used to go down to Branxton somewhere there. That was where his home was and his wife used to stay.
You know the Dedras that were in the paper shop, were they related to them?
Yes, distant relation.
Distant relation.
Yes.
Dedra. That wasn't his family that came to the paper shop.
No.
And when did your father come there then?
Well, look, I couldn't say, Jack, for sure, just what, very early on, in the
1800s,
and started a dairy, and then they got the idea of starting a vineyard, which we had quite a few acres where... Ivan is now.
Who's
he
that?
Owns the place. Ivan, the nephew, he owns the place.
Oh, yeah.
And,
did you have a cellar there?
Yes, there was a cellar. The old cellar's still there, yes.
Is it?
I was only up... If I take me carts, an automatic, and if I don't drive it a lot, I like to give it a run, and I go up the Marrowbone and come back round Len Drayton's place, that way, you see.
And how many acres did your father have there then?
About 240 to 260
acres. How many acres under grapes?
Oh, there was a very, very few acres. Might be about 2 or 3 acres.
And did he have a cellar or did he only just sell his
grapes? Yes, we built a cellar. We made wine there.
Did you?
Yes.
And what, did you have big casks?
Oh, yes, the big casks.
How many of them?
We had about 4 or 5.
4 or 5 of them.
And then we had the vat. The wooden vats to ferment the wine in, and we had the press to press it, an old steel press.
Yeah. Was that when you were a boy, or did your father have it before you were born?
Oh, he started their dairying before I was born.
Did he? Yeah. He didn't have the grapes before you were born. That's what I'm trying to. I'm trying to just date your little vineyard.
I can remember the grapes like when I could really see things. You know, that's early on in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm 77 now.
Yes. So you were... When were you born? 1907?
1905.
1905.
Yes. 5th of September 1905.
And the grapes that you grew, what particular, were they hermitage?
All hermitage.
All hermitage.
And also, other than that, in that vineyard we had about 3 or 4 rows of table grapes. That was for the families, everyone wanted to buy any and that sort of thing, you see.
Yeah. And
it was hermitage. And the wine we made was... sweet wine and dry wine as well.
Well, just leave the vineyard for the moment. I want to come back to it, but I want to go another little tack. Who was your mother? What was her name?
Locock.
Oh, she was a Locock?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an old name too in the area.
Yes, from Mount View.
Oh, she was from Mount View.
Yeah.
And where did they meet and marry?
Well, it's hard to say, Jack.
Did your father come here and marry here, or did they...
Yes, he married here. Yeah.
And he married in this area. That's what I'm trying to say. You, about what period?
Goodness meters.
Was it before the century?
Oh, yes, I'd say so.
Did you have older family than you, or were there older brothers and sisters?
Oh, yes, than me, yes.
Who was in your family then?
Oh, there was about 15 in our family.
Was there a big family?
And George and Jim and all the girls, you know.
You know Dan Howard that had the hotel?
Oh, Danny.
Yeah, was he related to you?
No, no.
That's
no.
A different Howard.
No, that's a different Howard. Yeah. I knew Danny well, and of course, later I used to lay bricks with him.
Yes, I knew. And he was a bricky too, wasn't he?
Bud, his son Bud, married a sister of mine, Floyd.
Oh, yes, yeah.
The younger sister.
Oh, so the Howards are united.
Yes, or she didn't have to change her name.
No, yeah.
Only from Mrs. and Miss.
Well, there was quite a lot of that went on in the early days, because, you know, old Carol, that was the first publican at that hotel that Danny was at.
Was he? And then Danny took it over after.
Oh, later on, years after. Years after. Danny only took it over in the round about the turn of the century.
Yes.
I think George Brown or John Brown had been in it up till that point.
I think he may have been that.
And before that, the Pictons were in it.
Yes.
It's a
Would
very,
that be Clive's relation?
He's relation. It's said to be his great grandfather, I think. Mm. It's a way back.
I knew all these. I knew Clive's father and I knew their names. But see, at my age now, I've had a lot of sickness, Jack, it's affected me mind.
Well, we're all, I haven't had sickness and my mind's starting to slip. That's why I have the tape. So
I had kidney trouble.
Yes.
I've still got it, and the doctor put me on a fluid diet.
You're not on dialysis?
No.
Very
a
likely.
Fluid balance. I had to drink that much, I nearly burst my belly.
Yeah, go on.
You know, and
it's done
you
good.
Dulcie went up to me one day and told him I wasn't too good. And he said, well, tell him to cut it out for a while.
You look good, yeah. You look good in the face, you do.
Yes. Well, a lot of people say, "Gee, you haven't been sick, have you?" Or you look good.
Yeah, you look good
but,
now. You do.
If I
really
look in the mirror, I think a different tale.
Do you? Well, I think I haven't seen you for quite a while. I think you look really well.
No, I've often seen you around, but I done some brickwork. That wall up
there. Yeah, I know.
Did that wall stand up?
Yeah, of course it did.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you drove pieces of steel and plates into the bank there. But it was a hard job to stop the bank had fallen away.
Shocking, shocking wall.
Fancy that. I often wondered, Jack.
Yeah,
and
still
I'm
there.
Often going to call
no,
in
no,
and have
no,
a
still
look.
There. Still there, my word.
Well, that's all right, isn't
it? It's done a great service.
That gives me a good feeling to think I was successful in billing it.
Well, I'll tackle another tack now. You have too many family for me to go back on all the families. I was going to get you all the families there, but there was 15, as you said. That's a big family.
Yes, it is.
I'd like to touch just on bricks.
Mm.
The early bricks that you used, where did they come from?
Charlie Bush had a first, I can remember, a brick kiln was out at South Cessnock. You know when you go over...
Yeah, but they had one, I know of that one. Now I'm
and then he had one up at O'Neill's wine, where this, you
yes,
know where this wine
yeah,
shop is up
yeah,
here,
yeah.
down in the creek there, you can see old bricks and half bricks there now.
Yeah. And there was another one between there and... between there and the Bellbird Hotel, and whoever was there went to the Bellbird Hotel. So who went to the Bellbird Pit as the brickmaker? They moved the brickyard from it not bushes in O'Neill's paddock, but the next one. Do you know where the next one was on your right hand side?
No, I couldn't. I know where this brick kiln was that made bricks up where Bill Colvin's house was, the manager's house.
Yes, well they went. There was somebody whoever run the brickyard on the bell halfway between the wine shop and the Bellbird Hotel.
Yeah.
On the same side down there.
Oh, well, I don't
and
know about that.
He went from there to the Bellbird Pit.
Yeah.
The brickmaker.
Yeah.
Whoever he was. And I was hoping you might have known who he was.
No.
Who was at Bellbird then when you'd be 20, the brickmaker? He'd still be there.
Well, I didn't know his name. I went to Bellbird working laying bricks many, many years after that.
Yeah.
For quite a while. In fact, I built them big fitter shops that used to be out there that they pulled down. You remember them?
We'll come back to that too.
I'll
try to just get the brickmakers.
Yes, well now...
You remember a brickyard on Maitland Road?
No.
On the other side of the schools?
No, I can't remember.
I'm told that was Charlie Bush's father.
Oh, was it? That's a long time.
Yes. Yeah, Charlie Bush's father had a brickyard somewhere out near where the dam was later. You know where the big Aberdeen dam was?
Yeah.
In that area there.
Yes, I can't remember one being there.
I thought, with your years and being in bricks that you might have known that.
No, the only one I know is at South Cessnock.
Yeah.
And then the one at Paddy O'Neill's paddock, we called it.
Yeah.
And then I know they made bricks at Bellbird, and I know where the kill was there,
yeah.
Where they made them, because I brought an old brick, part of a brick box that they make them in, you know,
yeah, yeah,
the mould,
yeah,
home from there.
Yeah.
And then Pelton Colliery made bricks too.
Yeah. Well, so they made them at Neath. Neath was a very big brickyard.
Yeah.
The bricks for East Cessnock School came from
yeah.
the one in... we laugh about Neath Breach today, but that's where Neath Breach was. Where they in about the late '20s, I think, they Clem Jones sold and demolished the brickyard on his property.
Yeah,
he had some disagreement with the bricky and whoever that was.
Yeah,
and I'm not too sure who it was. I have a feeling that Reg Henry's father might have been tied up a little bit in
it. Oh, he could have been, because they were in the other business too, blocks and all that,
yes,
sort of
they
thing,
went,
sand and concrete.
They went, they changed, you know, and he went out there with that fellow Robinson.
Yes.
Out to the potteries. But
before that,
Reg's father did work at Neath and at Little Cessna.
Yes.
And I feel that there was some, whatever it was, I don't know, but anyhow, Jones got rid of it.
Yes.
And I just wondered whether you knew who actually did run the brickworks. I thought you might have known because of your brickmaking profession.
Oh, yes. Well, like these are the only kills that I can remember. The one at South Cessnock.
Yeah.
One up in O'Neill.
Yeah.
I know where the one was at Bellbird, and then Pelton. I worked for 22 years laying bricks at Pelton.
Did you?
That's where I first started there in 1922.
Well, I was just going to ask you that. Did you go when as soon as Pelton started?
No, not for a while after it started. And I was...
Who was the brickmaker in Pelton?
Bill Waller.
Oh, Bill Waller.
And then old Charlie Bush went out there later on.
Yeah, yeah. But Bill Waller started it. He was the first.
Oh, yes, Bill Waller started it.
And where was he getting his bricks out of Pelton Yard, was it?
Yes, he got the clay out of the yard there in the creek.
Whereabouts, if you're going from past the cottages now, you know where the road goes into the pit?
Yes, do you know where the fan is? As you go down
up the top?
Yes, up the top, you
past
know.
Past the offices?
Oh, no. When you come in from the main road going to Wallenby and come down the hill, the fan's on the left-hand side.
Yeah,
it's right
on
the side of the road. Ollie Lane and I built that.
Oh, yes. And the brickworks were there, was it?
The brickworks were further down. I don't know whether the old tunnel's there or not, but you go across from the tunnel into the creek and there... The old brick kiln could be still there. You haven't been down to have a look, have you?
I didn't know where to look. I've been in Pelton lots and lots of times, but I didn't know what
I could
look
go for. Out with you there one day.
Yeah, and show me where they were.
Yeah, and show
I'll
you where
there.
It was, and show you where they got the clay.
Yeah.
Yes, well, Bill Waller...
Things have changed dramatically out of Pelton.
Oh, they have over the years, yeah.
No, but
they've
got a new railway and that's
filled
in, and they've filled in with all those creeks that were originally there. But however... I'll pick you up one day. I'd like to know just where that was in the...
Yes, well, I'll show you. They won't mind doing that.
Oh, no, I'd go out there. I go out frequently. I just went through there the other day to go up to look at the reservoir.
Yes.
You know where the reservoir was up in...
Oh,
yes,
yes.
Well, I'd never seen that until last week or the week before.
Well, fancy that.
And I went up the track. I had to go through Pelton Pit to get to it.
Yes.
I mean, I got free access.
Yes, I can remember the first brick layer at Pelton.
Yeah.
He was a big man, he was a terrific bricklayer.
Who was he?
Corbett Stewart, before Ollie Lane and I went out there.
Oh, yes, yeah.
He came from Wall's End. See, most of these men, miners and workers at Pelton, all the years and going right back from when it started, was brought up from Wall's End because the Newcastle Wall's End Company had a mine down there. They had two mines. And, of course, when they got worked out, they brought all these men.
Back
and
up this
the
way.
Pelton Township, they had bag humpies and all that sort of thing just across from the fan, where the fan is there. Oh, I know Pelton from A to Z because I worked
there. And when did they shift it up into Pelton Village up on the road, on the yellow line?
Oh, that's many years ago, Jack.
Yeah, but when? When was that done?
Well, all we'd have to do is go out there and ask some of the old...
Oh, yeah, I thought you might have known.
No, I couldn't say, really, like give you a certain date.
The old hands are thinned out, you know.
Oh, I know they have.
There's not too many of
them. I knew
there.
All them, the Davises, the Fogos. Do you know any of the Fogos?
They're nearly all gone now.
Oh, yes, they're all dead.
Yeah, but well, who do you ask? See, this is the point.
Well, now, Eric Roxby, did you know Eric was in the council? Eric lived there till
he died.
Like he was living there.
Yeah, well, I went and asked his wife, and she didn't know.
No. Well, she should know. She should have a fair idea.
Why?
But there's lots of things that I couldn't answer you now, Jack. I'll find out for you. I'll get it down.
I couldn't find out when that changed. I know it was about the 30s, I think.
Oh, I'd only be 16 or 17. Oh, no, wait a minute. round about 25 to 30.
Yeah, in that era.
Yes.
That's when they went up
there. Yes. They got sick of the old batches, or they had humpies of all
descriptions. I think the pits scooted them.
They did.
Yeah.
And gave them the land very cheap up there on the on that road going to Clingo to build their houses.
Yeah. I some of them went and some didn't, you know.
Yes. Like Mick Scott, I don't know whether you remember. Do you remember one of the Scots that worked on a baker's cart in Cessnock?
No, I can't place that spot.
Well, oh, crikey, there's a lot in it, you know.
And now let me go back in my little method.
You've got the idea what you want.
Yeah, I'm looking for all sorts of... Where did you live? Out on the property when you were a boy?
Oh, yes, out at the Colburn. Did you up live from Happy Valley.
How long did you live there? Are you married?
Dad sold the farm out to Brother George. And,
oh, that's that time. Your brother?
Yes, he was a school teacher and he had a hotel in Singleton.
Yeah.
And he sold out to him because he'd had it, you know, fairly old. Yeah. And I was about 14 when we shifted into Cessnock and we bought a place up on the Hospital Hill. You know where Amos lived there?
Yeah.
Well, we bought that.
Yeah.
And of course, Amos had that remodeled. Yeah. It was a big house.
It was a lovely old home.
Big old home with a veranda right round it, because I bricked it all up for Amos round the front.
Yeah, was that the house where Amos is?
Yeah, that's where he lived. Then of course he.
Your father, but I mean.
Oh yes, he bought that.
Off Amos bought off your father.
Oh, it was given to him through.
Through the will. I see. It was Amos's.
Yes, that was left to Amos because. Yeah. We both looked after him, like when he had the dropsy. He died with the dropsy.
Yeah.
We used to have to give him a needle.
Yeah.
And all that sort
What was your father's Christian name?
Thomas.
Thomas.
Yeah, Tom.
And how was he related to Dan then?
No relation whatsoever.
Oh, no relation? No,
no, no relation
no.
whatsoever. None the only at all. Relation, as I say, that Florrie married Bud.
Yeah, that was the only...
Changed the name.
Yeah, that was the only...
From Mr. Mrs.
Mr. Mrs. Yeah.
And I knew old Danny. I worked with old Danny. We done a lot of work up at the Glenmore Hospital.
Yeah.
Big front steps.
Yeah, yeah.
And old Danny was a good man to work with.
Go on.
And you know what he said to me one day, Jack? We'd knocked off and he said, Baden, I suppose you'll get married one day. And I said, I hope to. You know, I'll see how I go.
Yeah.
Well, he said, if you ever want £100 to buy a block of ground, he said, I'll give it to you.
Go on.
Well, I said, that's fair enough. But of course I wouldn't attempt to ask him to give me, I'd earn it myself and I'd be more satisfactory. But it was a wonderful thing of that offer.
Yeah. Well, but you must have won his esteem, his,
his
respect.
He was a great gambler.
Yeah.
As soon as he finished work, he'd have a meal and go down the town, he'd gamble. They reckon he'd gamble on flies walking across the ceiling, you know, that way. You knew Hick the bricklayer?
Yes.
Hick Howard?
Yeah.
Tom.
Were they all your family?
No, that was old Danny's
family. Danny's family.
Whack worked in the bank. You wouldn't remember
I don't remember, but I remember Hick. Hick used to be around town like when I was a young
boy. I used to laugh at Hick. You know, he never had a cart or someone gave him an old ute to run around, but he used to carry a mortarboard and a larry and a sieve on the push bike.
Yeah? And go around doing his job
off the push bike. Yes, marvellous, you know, how he carry things like that.
Yeah, I was talking to Jack Rumford. You know, old Jack. He's got a crook leg at the moment. You know.
No, I don't know. I know.
Used to work on the lights.
No, I've probably forgotten him.
Yeah. Well, his father worked before that again.
Yeah.
Jack Rumford. He was over the electrical engineer at the pit.
Yeah.
And then young Jack started around about same time as you, about 1925 or that period.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was on the lights with old Dury.
Oh, yes, I think I can remember old Dury.
Well, they went around together carrying... They used to carry a ladder on a bike.
Oh, they would too. They'd have to.
Yeah, there was no vehicle.
No, you tell them.
Then they progressed to a motorbike. But he was telling me how they used to carry it on the ladder on the push bike. And then when they got to a motorbike, it was a motorbike and sidecar, and the ladder used to go between it. People don't realise that today.
No, they do not.
When you're talking about Hick Howard, that doesn't surprise me that he carried.
This is what he done. Yeah.
He's hiding his.
He'd throw the board down and get off the bike, and he'd talk, and then he'd have to get you to put the board on his shoulder, you know, and away he'd go. Now Dickie Hunter, you would remember Dickie Hunter.
He was
the
sanitary bloke. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can barely
sanitary contractor.
Yeah. Barely remember.
Well, he rode an old Douglas motorbike. You know the old Dougs, flat twin, cylinders, and he some of them had. well, I suppose they could ring up, but they'd let him know that there was two pans short.
Yeah.
And he'd get a pan on each side,
carry
them
a pan
on the handles and go down Vincent Street, and they'd all be laughing at him, you know.
Yeah.
And he'd have to deliver them to wherever they wanted them.
Where the pans were short.
And I'll tell you, this is fair dinkum too, it might be a bit dirty, but anyway, he used to go round the place, you know, and some of the blokes on the sanitary cart said, Mr. Hunter, the women putting ashes in the pan,
yeah,
in the old toilet, you know, the old
toilet. Yeah,
and to get
put
the pan out, they had a lid up the back of the toilet, you know them?
Yeah, I remember the old style, yeah.
Well, he said, I'll have to investigate, give me a name. So this fella gave him the name, and she lived up Aberdeen, and he went up. And he said, I've been informed that you're putting ashes in the toilet, in the sanitary pan. Oh, no, Mr. Hunter. Well, he said, can I have a look at it? And she said, yes. So he rolled his sleeve up and drove his hand in and said, there's ashes in the bottom of the pan. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, well, they would do those things them days, Jack,
yeah,
to prove a point, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he wasn't too proud. I always heard the story about Dickie out in the, where he had the trenches, where he used to empty the pans out south Cessnock.
Yeah.
They reckon he had his coat on. He took his coat off and put it down and they said sometime, where's it? Where's your it's lunchtime, Dick? He said, oh, my lunch is in my pocket.
Oh, yes. A lot of the fellows on the cart, you know, used to have their sit up on the cart.
Cart and have lunch.
Yes, I don't think they washed their hands.
No,
they were that used to it, you see.
Yeah.
Probably no water around.
That was a hard...
But there's a lot of funny things went on over those years. My word.
They always told those stories about Dickie Hunter. And yet he made a lot of money, Dickie. Like, he had the merry-go-rounds and that too, didn't he?
He did, yes. He ended up with the merry-go-rounds, went off the sanitary business.
Yeah, he made a heap of money. He made a heap of money out of that sanitary. He was contracting everywhere, like when it first started.
Yes. Now, what was that Kemp, not old Mr. Kemp, where the TAB is now, but his son, Toby.
Toby, yeah.
He was the funniest man in the world, you know, old Toby.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. He had a shop at Bellbird and one at Paxton, I think.
Did he? Oh, yeah.
Oh, Toby Kemp was a real card. I remember Dulcie and I was going to Foster them days, and we went into Toby's shop down there, and I asked him, did he have a couple of, like a double stretcher?
Yeah.
And he said, I'll have a look, mate. And he said, I don't know whether I have or not. No, he said, I only got two singles. He said, you know, you want two singles when you go away, have a spell from your wife. And all the women in there, you know, they laughed like... Oh, he was a funny man.
He was a character, wasn't he? He was always joking with the women and that, didn't he? Like
yes, well, here's another one too, you know. Cess Woods, a chap that worked at Pelton, he married a girl, a fisherman's girl from Swan Bay.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a fisherman's daughter. And he come back after they had a bit of a honeymoon, and he was telling me this, like Cess Woods. And... his wife said, look, we haven't got a pole to put under the bed.
Yeah.
Says, you'll have to go down to Toby Kemp's and get one. Oh, no, 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 he said, I don't like going in and asking that. She said, you'll have to. So she enticed him to go. And when he went down, he went in the back, thinking he might get it without anyone knowing. And there's about eight women in the shop.
Yeah.
And he said, Toby, come up here. I want to see you a minute. He said, the wife wants me to get a pole. There they are, Cess, all colours all along there, picked the ones with the flowers on and the white ones. Of course, Toby done that, so. This is true. They're all true facts.
Oh, yes, he was a character. He was a funny man, old Toby. I played bowls a lot with him later on.
Oh, did you?
And not long before, well, up till when he was, before he died, you know.
Yes.
And he always talked about Black Stallion rum.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yes. Oh, you got to drink Black Stallion rum.
I suppose he was right, like it could be.
But he used to order it. They used to have a special
bottle. Oh, yes, the horse would be on the label.
And I rigged it up, you know, the barman poured the two Black Stallions. I said, now, Toby, we're having a change. You took it into a whiskey. What do you think of that? And it was Black Stallion.
Oh, yeah.
Tasted it and tasted. Oh, rubbish, he said, rubbish.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, well, that's the bloody Black Stallion. But we fixed it for him. Like
he didn't know
at all. It's like a fellow I know, a fellow named Lewis down in Toronto, always drinks Gilby's gin.
Oh, yeah.
And we did the same thing. We emptied a Gilby's gin bottle into a
put other stuff in it.
No, put the Gilby's gin in this bottle.
Yeah.
He drank Gilby's.
Oh yeah.
But he drank it out of another bottle.
I see.
And he said he always said he could taste the Gilby's, but it was Gilby's he was drinking.
Oh yeah.
He said it was rubbish. Oh that's
yes, that he was wrong when you do that because you would know for a fact. Well that reminds this old deader that worked Bazant's vineyard for him, the other side of our place. That's just about where Len lives.
Lives, yeah. I think he bought that off Brazant.
Yes, that's right.
I think
right,
Len told me that himself.
Yes. Well, now, old Jack Detter, he reckoned he was a great judge of wine. You know,
yeah.
He said, I am a Sherman and I am a good judge.
Yeah.
So he went down to where Jim the brother was and Artie Connolly down there where Happy Valley is now. That, Connolly's owned that place.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't. No.
Old Steve Connolly was
did
the
he?
Father.
Yeah.
And they, Jim...
They owned where the Happy Valley is.
Yes, and my brother Jim married a girl, Connolly, Florrie Connolly. They're both dead now. But anyway, old Deirdre used to come down there...
Go on, you tell your story.
Yes, okay. I just finished this.
Yeah.
Old Deirdre would get sick of cooking a meal for himself, like batching, and that, and he'd come down there around on tea time. And Jim used to say to him, if you can't see well, you can smell well.
Yeah.
It's coming on tea time. And when he'd sit at the table, Mick Connolly was about my age. He was a real trick of a fella. He'd crawl under the table, put a rope round the leg and pull him away from the table. But anyway, old Jack Deirdre said he could tell wine, like if they wanted to say which cast the best out of the different casts of wine, he was the best judge.
Yeah.
So Jim said they had a cipher. They used to suck it up and then put the finger on and they could just put it in the glass as they wanted to.
Yeah.
They filled one up and he said, I've got to go out to the light. I can't see it, the colour of it in the cellar. I'll have to go out to the light. And he looked at it. He said, yes, that's a good wine. That's good. And he drank that. So they went and got another one. But the trouble was they got it out of the same cask.
Yeah.
When they brought it out, he said, oh, much lighter colour, better wine.
Yeah.
And Jim said, yeah, old cow. He said, it's out of the same cask.
Yeah.
Oh, they used to play tricks.
Yeah.
It was all that way years ago.
Good jokes, weren't they?
Oh, they were good jokes. Yeah.
I thought Connolly's lived over the back of Ivanhoe. I thought they lived over the back there.
No, I can't remember any Connolly's being over there.
There was
an old Charlie Connolly, but he always stayed at Steve's place.
Did he? I was only just that I read it on a map, you know, the... And I thought that Grant's a land.
Might have been before my time and I knew nothing about it yet.
Yeah, that's possible. And but the Connolly's worked that one where Happy Valley is. Well, when did that... the Draytons acquire that later on, or...?
Oh, yes, many, like West Drayton.
He was the one that took
it. He took that over.
The Happy
and
Valley.
And that brought him away from the other Draytons out. That's why you never hear them mention West very much.
No, he's very...
And
important.
Then there was Ernie Drayton, lived right up in the mountain out at the Colburn where the other cellar is.
Yeah.
You know Jock?
Jock's
a lovely man. Yeah. I went up and had a yarn with him some time ago.
Yeah.
He's a very nice fellow.
Did you go to school? You'd go to nearly school the same time as Len, would you?
Yes, Len and I were mates.
Yeah, you're the same age.
Yeah, the same
more
age.
Or less,
more or less the same age.
Where'd you go to school at?
Colburn.
At the old school?
Yes, that's pulled down now.
Yeah, oh, it's not pulled down, it's been shifted.
Yes, they shifted it to Curry or somewhere.
Yeah, Curry High School.
Area down there.
Curry High School.
Curry High School, did they?
Yeah.
Well, fancy being.
And Curry High School have made it, painted it up and done it beautiful. It's a museum.
Yes.
It's absolutely magnificent. You ought to go to Curry High School and see it.
I will go and have a look at it. I'll pull up there one day.
You know, when you come in the front, you go not down the back of it, you know, the high school. You come into the front of the high school.
Oh, yes, yes.
And it's just in the corner in there. And absolutely beautiful what they've done.
Yes, it was good.
The headmaster at Curry High School is a brother of Ron, the bloke at the post office, Hindmarsh, you know.
Oh, Ron Hindmarsh, I know Ron, yeah.
Well, not Ron the insurance bloke.
No,
Ken Hindmarsh.
Ken
Hindmarsh.
Works in the post office.
Yes.
Yeah, big fella.
Big fella.
Mm.
Well, his brother is the headmaster at Curry.
Oh, is he?
Len
Hindmarsh. Well, I didn't know that.
And it's his idea. He got this lovely Colburn school and put it on the school property and they've made a museum of it.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
And it is really good. He's got all sorts of things, you know, like he hasn't got your bottles and things, but he's got a very lovely museum there of old He's still building. He's still only just...
I see, adding on to it.
And he's, well, not building onto the building, but adding things into the museum.
Oh, yes, yes.
They've painted and done it up in the old style.
Oh, that's good, to preserve it like that. Now, it was built of the best timber. That's when the good timber was around these areas.
Yeah, well, that's where the Pocolbin School
was. Yes, well, they acquired that land to build that school off McDonald's Flat.
Yeah.
They owned 1,000 acres there, and they took that bit out of it.
Yeah. The road was straightened there, was it, at one time?
Up Jack Wright's Hill, we call it.
Was it? Up
that
where
hill
the
that goes
is?
Up there to
near
the top
school.
Where them little areas are, the picnic areas.
Yeah.
That's Jack Wright's Hill.
Is it?
Yes, that's the original name of that.
Was Jack Wright's Hill, huh? Oh.
Yeah. Well, Jack
Wright... Well, where was Jack Wright from? What
he must have lived around there somewhere, but I don't know where. Now, I knew Tullocks. You know where Tucker... Old J.Y., Jackie Tullock.
Yeah.
Hector Tullock and Roy and Keith and... Oh, I knew them all.
Yeah, Marge.
Well, then just across from across from the wine cellars at Tullock's, there was a post office there.
Yeah.
Miss Blick run that.
Yeah. That's on the other road back.
Yes, on the other road, going down where them little areas, have picnic areas there.
Yeah.
We used to knock off like a school at dinner time, and we'd run down there and get the old PKs. Remember the old keep
PKs? Yeah, little ones,
And I remember this for sure. We used to play marbles a lot. Always at lunchtime or any time we had, we played marbles.
Yeah.
And we all had a Connie. You remember the Connie
the
marbles?
Connies, yeah.
Agate?
Yeah.
Well, now this is true. There was a man brought the mail every day from Maitland to the post office at Miss Blick's there.
Yeah. Who was he?
I've been trying lately, laying in bed, thinking of trying to think of his name, but I'll get it.
Yeah.
If you ever want it, I'll get it.
Oh, it's always interesting.
We used to go down and order one, and they were one and nine.
Yeah.
A Connie Marble. He'd say, would you want one with an eye in it, or just the red one? Pure red one.
Yeah.
Now, all these things come back to me.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a name much like Brazant or something like that, but I could find that out for you.
Yeah, it's interesting just to who it was.
Yes, well...
Was Kath Tullock there when you were there, or was she...
Oh, yes.
Was she going to school, or teaching?
She went to school with us, yes.
Oh, your vintage, too.
Yes, and Keith.
Yeah. Oh, Keith, too, was he? Yeah.
I can remember...
Were the Hungerfords there then? That
yes,
owned,
Charlie Hungerford.
That owned the land. Old man Tullock got the land from Hungerford.
Oh,
to pay
buy
a debt.
That from Hungerford?
No, he paid a debt. Hungerford couldn't pay his way.
Yeah.
And he was very friendly with Tullock. And Tullock had the store at Brankston.
Oh, did he have a store there?
I
didn't know that.
Well, he had the post office and store at Brankston.
Oh,
that's old Yonny Tullock.
J.Y.
J.Y.,
And
he said, Hungerford said to Tullock, look, I'll never be able to pay you. We're friends. Pick a piece of ground.
Well,
and that's how he got the vineyard.
Well, yes, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He was King Dick at Pocolbin, like J.Y. Tullock. Very well educated.
Yeah.
He used to run the dances and that sort of thing. If there's any speaking to do.
Where were the dances held at?
At Pocolbin, the little hall that's down there near Lindemann's
on
cellar.
On the bottom, oh yeah?
Yes, that little hall.
And who were the orchestra there then?
Jim Carroll played the violin.
Which Jim Carroll are you talking about there? From out there on the property, Carroll, Robert Carroll's family.
Yes, there's Carroll's lived out there, Jim Carroll.
Do you remember him at all?
Yes, he lived on the Maitland Road. He's dead now, and he married a school teacher that taught me, Miss Goggin.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, Miss Goggin taught me.
Yeah.
And this is a funny thing I often tell the family, like or anyone. She said to me, Baden, I want you to come out and sing a song.
Yeah.
I said, Miss Goggin, I can't sing. She said, don't you tell me that, I've heard you singing. Well, I had to come out.
Yeah.
So she said to the girl on the piano, strike a note.
Who was the girl on the piano?
Oh, crikey, I couldn't think who it was.
A school girl or a... Or
a school girl.
Yeah.
Yes, one could play the piano. I can see the piano now. And she said, what are you going to sing? And I said, the little green patch on the top of the hill. Instead of starting low, I said, there's a little green patch on the top of the hill. She said, that'll do, you're there. Well, it's funny, and I often tell that to the family.
Yeah.
But there's some funny things that you never forget, Jack. Yeah. Now, it was...
I was asking you about those dances, because I was a little bit interested. Jim Carroll played violin or the piano?
Jim played the violin.
Well, who was on the piano then?
The school teacher's wife, No Blanche. Mrs. Noblange.
Noblange.
Yes, like the school teacher's wife. They, yeah. They've really got to be able to play pianos, yeah, and things that like. And that's why she played.
Was that the band? Or did they have drums?
No, they didn't have drums.
Just the violin and the piano.
Yes. And I remember Alf Holinshed, he played a violin too, and he never ever held the violin up there. He used to have it in his knees and play it across that way.
Yeah? Know,
with the bow.
Go on.
And of course, when the MC, one of the Draytons, always the man go round with a candle, you know, with a knife and get the floor slippery and then a bit of sawdust.
Yeah.
Ernie Drayton. He'd been dead quite a many years.
That's the fellow that lived up on the hill.
He lived right up in the gully, up from where the old the cellars are now.
Yeah. Which way, back up towards the mountain or back up towards Maribyrnong?
Oh, no, back up, like going what you would say...
Up towards Mount View.
Mount View, yes. Yeah, that's right, way. Up in there, right up in that gully. That's where one of the old houses were. There was two houses up in there.
Mm.
Well, Ernie married Effie Thompson. She's still alive and living. Do you know Effie Thompson?
No. Where's she living?
She lives over on the Mount View Road, I
think.
Yeah, she went to school with me.
But she'd be Effie Drayton then.
Yes, Effie Drayton they'd call her now. Yeah. She worked.
And she'd be one of the Thompsons from the Thompson's Lane.
Thompson's Lane, yes, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I didn't know, only knew the ones that went to school of the Thompson.
Yeah. You remember old Ernie Thompson that was in town here, used to drive for Caledonian Coal Risk?
No, I can't remember him, James.
You remember Fred Thompson?
No.
The mailman used to go to Wallumbay, the bookmaker fella.
No, I can't remember him.
I thought he lived up this way somewhere.
There, Dulcie? Where does Effie live? Over on the Mount View Road, doesn't she? Yes, well, she married...
What was Dulcie's maiden name?
Webster. Jack Webster from Aberdeen, But all I could talk, we'll have to ruin the face, you know. Once I get going, I can...
Keep talking. I've got plenty of time.
Yes, well, now, Billy Wilkinson, old Billy Wilkinson, and Eustace was his son, and there was three girls. They lived, as you go to Drayton Cellars, you go right out past Fleming's place and go right up to the...
Was Fleming there then in those days when you were there when you were a boy?
Yes, Jim and Albert. Yeah. Now, Jim Fleming, he played the violin too.
Yeah.
And I'll finish this about Jim and Holinshed and Carol.
Yeah.
As soon as they'd say, Spello, you know, for the dance, and they'd all sit down, they had a jar of wine in Mac's flat across from the hall.
Yeah.
This is as true as I'm sitting here.
In McDonald's flat.
Yeah, and they had them... mugs, you know, them mugs, not the aluminium ones.
Tin mugs. No, tin mugs.
No, they were enamel.
Enamel mug.
And they'd go and have a snort across there and come back, and then you could notice the difference in their clothes. It really get in. And
did you say that Jim Carroll moved into East Cessnock?
Yes, he lived on Allendale Road. He married Miss Goggin, the school teacher, because you remember Claude Holinshed and Ken?
Yeah.
Well, Claude and I were mates, of course, and Amos and Ken were mates all our lives.
Yeah.
If we'd go out to the mountain and stay at their place, they lived near Billy Wilkerson.
Yeah.
One sad day, they'd come down to our place the next sad day and stay.
I always thought the Carroll on Maitland Road were related to the Gearys and McGrains and...
He could have been, Jack, but I doubt it. I can't see how he would be. You know Ilma Geary, she'd know.
Yeah. No, not that Geary.
Oh, not that Geary.
Jack Geary and George Geary.
Oh, yes, that's another Geary.
Yeah.
Yes, I knew them too when they were young.
They were, well, their granny was a Carroll.
Oh, was she?
But she was the Carroll that was in the hotel that I told you about, the Carroll that married a Carroll.
I see.
And she was related to the Carrolls out there that you're talking about. That you're talking about.
Oh, the, well, then that's...
There was a relationship, but I didn't think they ever came... I thought when they came into town, you know where Carroll's estate, was that the Jim Carroll you're talking about? You know where Comfort Avenue and all that was Carroll's estate, wasn't
it? Oh, no, he wouldn't be any relation of those, I don't
think.
He lived at the Colburn.
Well, you said he came in and lived on Maitland Road.
Yes, he came in there and lived
Where did he live on Maitland Road?
Just past McCabe's old shop, on the left-hand side.
McCabe's.
He had two daughters. Now, I wonder where they
were. Where are you at? McCabe's.
You know McCabe's shop on Allendale Road?
Oh, on Allendale Road. You said Maitland Road.
Did I? I'm sorry, Jack.
Yeah, that's... Now I'm with you. I know the car... You mean Peggy Cow, the red-headed girl?
Yes, they were red-headed, yes.
Yes,
well,
I know.
Well, Miss Goggin, their mother was red-headed, as
I
red
know.
As could
now
be.
I'm with you, now I'm with you. I know
yes,
you.
Yes, I made a mistake. You pulled me up when
you were...
Allendale Road.
You only just confused me because the Cows did live on Maitland Road.
Yeah, Jim.
Yes, and Jim and Pat.
Now this bears it out. As I said, as he played the violin.
No, I don't think he played the violin.
Yes, he did, because he taught Claude Hollingshead and I.
Did he? The ones on Maitland Road?
Yes.
Or Allendale Road?
Allendale Road.
Allendale Road. Well, I'm saying there was a Jim and a Pat Carroll lived on Maitland Road.
Oh, they're different Carrolls altogether.
That's right.
I knew them. There was Nugget Carroll.
Nugget,
he used to play rugby.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's another Carroll. No relation. This is Jim Carroll that lived and was born and that's
But they lived on Allendale
Road. On Allendale Road, past McCabe's shop, along in there somewhere.
I know where the house is.
Long, many years ago.
Yeah, I know.
Well, they had two girls.
Yeah. Peggy and, what's the other girl's name?
Yes, well... Claude had a violin. His father gave him an old violin, and someone gave me one, and we said we'd go down and have lessons.
Yeah.
So anyway, we were going down, and we went in, and we had a bit of a lesson or two, and I was nervous, very nervous. You know, some of them, when they're playing a violin, they vibrate it, make it warm.
Yeah.
Well, Jim said, now... Baden, I don't want you to start that yet, because he said, you're not advanced far enough. He said, I'll tell you when you start to do that. I said, it's not that, Jim. I said, I'm nervous and I'm shaking.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
But anyway, I've got to tell the truth. He had a bad cold and we were in the kitchen, and instead of blowing his nose with a handkerchief, he blew it on the floor.
Yeah.
And Claude said to me when we went, come out, like to come home, he said, that's the finish of me, Baden.
Yeah.
We never ever went back.
Oh,
that's a fact.
Yeah. And who else played in those dance time?
Well, whatever teacher, like I was taught under No Blanche and Campbell.
Yeah.
And whatever one was there, their was wives the... always played the piano. Yeah. They seemed to be able to play the piano, which I think it would be a good
thing. And they played in the dances, did they?
They played at the
dances, yeah.
Well, then, I don't know whether you ever heard of Clary Mitchell from Bellbird.
No.
Very funny man. He was a real keystone, as they call them.
Is he older than you, or...?
Oh, he would have been a bit older than me. He's dead now.
Is he?
Not very long ago, only two or three years ago he died. Well, he used to go out to the hall, and he'd always carry a stock whip, probably ride a horse sometime.
Yeah.
The Hollingsheds come down, they were like bush rangers.
Yeah.
Come down from the mountain.
Where were Hollingsheds? Up in Mount
right
View?
Right up on the top were Loyal Matthews and Owen
Matthews.
Yeah,
right.
Remember
up that
Owen?
Yeah, I know where they live, yeah.
They lived up there. They'd come down with stock whips and, you know, the horses and...
They wouldn't go to your school. They would have went to Mount View School, would they?
No, I think they'd come to Colvin School. Or some of them could have gone across to...
Mount View,
yes. They would, because they'd be closer.
Yeah.
Anyway, they wouldn't come in and dance. They made out they were cowboys, but they'd upset the show, you know. They'd come in and tell the dance to stop and pick a fight.
Yeah.
And then they'd jump on the horses and away they'd go full... Stretch gallop. Oh, they used to have some terrible times out there.
Yeah, go on.
Well, some of them would go up on the stage and say, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bust the show up.
Yeah?
This is all true, Jack.
Yeah.
I wish Amos was here. He could back me up, you know.
Is Amos dead inside?
Oh, yeah. They shifted to Sydney from up on the hospital and he died.
Did he? I didn't
and
know.
And I was in hospital and come out just... I couldn't even go to the funeral.
Go on. I didn't know that he was dead.
Yes, he died. But, oh,
was he related to Daunts at all by
no relation, only
in business?
That's right. Well, when we were on the farm, Herb Daunt and a fellow that Daunt had working with him named Daniels, I can't think of his first name, they come out to our place at the Colburn, and this is how Amos come to ask him if he would give him a job and learn the dentistry, and that's how he started.
Well, he came out when Amos was a boy on the property.
Yes, that's right, and Amos started with, and that's how he became.
But they come to your cellars or something, buying wine or something?
Oh, they sort of got to know us and that, you know, and Miss Daniels, Amos got to know Daniels, and he brought Herb out to our place.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we used to go away with Herb and Marge Quickerton. He married Marge Quickerton.
Yeah, who did?
Daunt. Herb Daunt married Marge Quickerton.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice-looking girl, used to work in Cessnock in one of the shops years ago. Well, they live next door to Amos.
Wait a minute before you get away from there. Jack Quickerton.
Jack's?
A brother-in-law of Amos.
Yes.
That'd be right, wouldn't it?
Yes.
He's dead now, but his wife lives up at Foster.
Yeah, Jack Quickerton.
Yeah, they had a daughter, Betty.
Yes, that's right. Yes, well, he was Mrs. Dawn's brother. Jack and mine.
I've often wondered on that relationship. I knew there was a relationship between the Quickertons, but I didn't know how.
Yeah, Jack, he died with a bad heart. He worked at Bellbird Colliery.
Yes.
Yes, well, Marge and Jack were...
Did you know him when he was a young fellow?
Jack?
Quickerton, yes.
Oh, yes, yes, we used to...
Did he work at the post office?
No, I don't know. I couldn't say. I only know him as working at Bellbird.
You didn't know him when he was a young boy?
No.
Somebody told me they thought that he worked very early in the post office... In the exchange part, before there were girls.
He may have done when he was very young, but he worked at Bellbird most of his life.
He might have moved from there, but I mean, when he was a...
Well, he could have worked in the post office.
I thought you might have heard that, that was all.
No, no. Now, if Amos was alive, he'd be able to tell me. I might, things like this that's got me beat, I might be able to find out.
I know that Mrs. Quickerton lives up at Foster, and I know where she... Yes. Not Betty, that's not her name, is it?
No, Dulcie?
Doesn't matter, but Betty's mother.
Betty's mother, that's right.
And lives up there, I know that, and I've been going to go and see her. She lives next door to Lil Harold, who was Lil Victor.
Oh, yes, I remember Lil Victor.
Well, she lives up there in the same area as what, and I saw Lil not so long ago, and I said I'm going to go and have a talk to her because I wanted some of the early Victor history. That's old Bill and,
I remember the Victors,
They were... very early in the year.
Yes, well, this girl of Quickerton, and...